All right. Key passage in terms of this thing on we are God's image bearers. You see, I really feel that we want to go on to a thing of talking about community, talking about how we live together as the church, because by this the world will know you're mine, Jesus said, by your love for one another. Now, it's very difficult to love one another if you're not with one another. You can't be with one another if you're not in community. You can't be in community successfully if you're a broken person. You need to be a healed person, a whole person. Life happens to us. We get messed up. We need to learn how to get healed. So where do we start? We go right back to the beginning, and we ask the question, what was God's intent for us? And so in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, I read it last week. And I am trying my best to turn this into a two-part series, of which part one is done. So let's try. Verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, birds in the sky, the livestock, all wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. He repeats himself. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, every living creature that moves along the ground, etc., etc. So we see what happens is God says, right, there's something I want you to do. There's a task I want you to fulfill. But the basis of the task you fulfill is the identity you have based on two things. Number one, the fact that you are made in the image of God. And secondly, that you know you're made in the image of God. Point one was, there's a story we have to learn to follow. None of us were born into this world by choice. You didn't choose the color of your skin, the language you would speak, the place you'd be born, who your parents would be. You had no say in it. It was given to you. The book of Acts says that God determined the exact places we should live and the exact times we should live. So we are put into a world without us having a whole lot of say in it. And what we need to know is there is a story that began and a story that will conclude, and you and I fit in somewhere. What the temptation of mankind is to take that story and make it our story, right? Instead of it staying God's story, we make it our story. We forget we are made in the image of God. And so what we try and do is make ourselves in our own kind of image. You find it everywhere. But from the moment we're born, there's actually an outlying plan that God wants us to fill into. Those of us who've ever had children, isn't it wonderful when that little baby's born? And daddy's so proud and mommy's stuffed. And he goes into the pub and he gets the cigar and the beers and the pats on the back. I mean, the oak made a deposit, did nothing else, but there's my child. Poor mommy's like, she's got postpartum depression. She's trying to lose her stomach. She's trying to, you know what I mean? Mommy's just trying to cope. Mommy's just trying to stay alive. Daddy's floating around like, check what I did. And then everyone comes and dotes on this little baby. And little baby's doing what it does. But what little baby doesn't know is that little baby is going to have to learn to tidy its room and go to school and face hardship and face life. It's not easy, but they don't know it yet. But they're born into a world, into a family, given a surname, etc., etc. In the same way God says, you're born into a world where he's going to do a whole lot of stuff. Point number two was that we aren't ordinary. God has made nobody ordinary. The world will convince us we're ordinary except for the special few. But we are not ordinary people. We've been made in his likeness. Third point was that because we aren't ordinary, there is a role of leadership he has given us. He says, so I make you in my image so that you may go and rule over. There is a leadership that's supposed to be exercised. Now, the first place leadership starts is in your own life. You can't lead there until you lead here. You'll never lead anyone. That's why marriage counseling, pre-marriage counseling is so important. Because in the process, you need to learn where you fit in the scene. You need to learn that respect isn't something that's just demanded. It's given freely. And you should never consider wanting to be with someone who's broken or who's a mess. Well, my ministry is I'm going to marry them and then fix them. I have a word for you almost from the Lord. You're an idiot. You are never going to fix that person. For only one simple reason. You're not called the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit comes, he fixes, we work, we help, we heal, we're with each other, but we need people to know that. And it's not safe to trust someone who doesn't yet know how to exercise a degree of self-leadership. But God has given us leadership. Point number four was that each person has value. They're made in God's image, whether we like them or not. People are made in God's image. And that's why we go to the ends of the earth, to tell people about Christ. Because they're made in His image, He loves them. There's absolutely, it's almost like there is a divine, a God-like potential inside every single human being. The problem, of course, is most of them don't see it. Then the few others think they've already got it. We're all somewhere in between. So this week I want to start, and I want to try my little best. There's only 2 points. With probably 38 sub-points. But I only have 2 points. Point number five, because point number four was the value of each person alive, when looking at the subject of becoming an image bearer of the King. Point number five is this: handling God's word and handling God's words. Logos and Rhema. Another one of the important aspects of being human is that this passage highlights that we are able to hear, embrace, and act upon the word of the Lord. So you find that God said, let us make man in our image. And then God blessed them, and listen, and God said to them. Some Christians go their whole lives without hearing God. We're going to learn just now that faith comes by hearing. If you're not hearing, there's no faith. No faith, there's no pleasing God. We have the ability to hear. God communicates with us through His words. He said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over. Fish in the sea, birds in the sky, every living creature that moves on the ground. I'm giving you a dominion. God has the capacity to speak, but we have the capacity to listen. We have the capacity to hear. I want to tell you right now, the strength of your Christian walk is directly linked to your ability to hear and act upon what you know God said. I'm telling you now. The weakest Christians are those who cannot hear the voice of the Lord, because you cannot get faith, you cannot overcome, you cannot walk into what God has for you until you learn to appreciate the fact that you were created with an ability to not only hear, but to handle the word of the Lord. One of my favorite passages of scripture. By the way, the word of the Lord is God's language, the way God speaks. And so there is through His word, and there is by His Spirit into us. And He says to us, I've given you the ability to hear my language. Sometimes I might get to it. It's nuances of God you learn to pick up on. I'm talking about it tonight on this, the God you think you know. I want to talk about the God who is expressive. He has expression. We're able to change the way He feels about us. There are nuances around God. And the more you grow, I want to say this to you, the more you grow in Him, you will discover times when He speaks less, but He impresses more. Because it's deep calling to deep. And God's words aren't just spoken words. They're often feelings, nuances He gives you that settle you more than just words can do. Isaiah 55 from verse 6. Listen to the language of God. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. This morning He was near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on them. And to our God, for He will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So God is telling you straight, even before I speak to you, I have thoughts and I have words. As the heavens are higher than the earth, that's quite high, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, there's a big gap between the way you think I should act and the way I do act. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and don't return to it, you've never seen rain and snow going back upwards. Without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. There is a watering, a budding, a flourishing that's able to happen when we're able to receive the word of the Lord. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So God is saying, I will talk to you. I will communicate with you. My words, when my words come to you, there is a defined effect it has on you that you can read right there. And then there is a result to his word in your life. And you see it in the next verses. You will go out in joy. You may come in mourning, but you will go out in joy. You will be led forth in peace. You may come in crisis. You will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. What's the mountains and the hills? It's the path you have to tread. Just because you get the word of the Lord doesn't mean everything gets made straightforward and simple and easy. But the path you have to walk with all its hills and all its mountains and all its valleys, they will actually burst into song. You will walk into a different environment, he's trying to say. And all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. What does it mean? That which is stable and has been there forever, when you've heard the word of the Lord and you start walking your road, even nature will begin to applaud you when you hear my word. The Message Bible puts it like this: seek God while he's here to be found. Pray to him while he's close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their way of life and the evil their way of thinking. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to our God who is lavish with forgiveness. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. It's God's decree. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing the work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come from my mouth not come back empty-handed. They will do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. That's what God is saying. What's the reward? What's the fruit? So you'll go out in joy. You'll be led into a whole and a complete life. The mountains and the hills will lead the parade, bursting with song. All the trees of the forest will join the procession, exuberant with applause. God is saying from the beginning, I have blessed you and I've given you the ability to hear instructions from me. God can converse with us. And you see, God's conversation with us is what enables us to have genuine fellowship with him. It was the basis of his call to Abraham, the man of faith, the friend of God. He says, I will talk to you, that'll be released as faith, and you will listen and do what I say. You'll be my friend. And when you hear me and you listen and you do what I say and you walk in faith, you know what's going to happen, boy? I'm going to bless you. And to the degree that I bless you, you'll be able to be a blessing to the world around us. As a matter of fact, not only does conversation, the ability to hear God's words, bring faith into our hearts and cause us to relate with him, the ability to converse with God means through conversing with God, we can now look this way and converse with each other. We learn a lot about ourselves when we're with others. How many of you have learned a few things you did not know about yourself until you're with others? Good and bad. I'm a wonderful person. Really? I'm fabulous. Let's go on holiday with you for a week. We'll soon see what you like. Because you see here, most of us brushed our teeth. Most of us did our hair. Most of us came in with a smile. We don't have a clue what happened to you this morning. I said to Brett, the reason I was late this morning was because two of my boys are playing FIFA on their iPad. They're playing each other. And the one did a sneaky move on the other one. So the other one smacked the other one, hit his head against a piece of wood. Now, I'm just walking out the door, and I hear crying. Go back. Got all my stuff. Boys are going to be like, what's going on? The one's in agony, the other one. I said, this is supposed to be fun. This was a game you're supposed to play to enjoy each other. Now, I'm out the door, and I hear screaming. What's going on? The one's got a bump on his head. And the other one is so concerned. He's busy scoring extra goals while the other one's... And I've got to... You see, that's when you learn about each other. It's like, hey, boys, here's the deal. I walked back in. I said, listen, I'm not going to... I don't know what happened, so I can't get... But I just want to say this. If this, which is supposed to be fun, isn't going to be fun anymore, just give me those iPads quick. I'm deleting your FIFA games. I'm putting them in my bag. You guys can do something else. No, Dad, we're fine. You learn a lot about yourself with other people. But I want to say this. God actually created us for rich interpersonal interchange that brings joy. Because every other Christian is made in the image of God. And when you truly start to be made whole and walk in a wholeness, you discover that when God does bring friends alongside you, they become so good for you. Because you're hearing word from God, you're full, your joy is being restored, your peace is being restored. Then when you become a flavor to other Christians around you, you become a wonderful person to be around. I told you last week, the level of your relationship with God is directly proportional to how you talk to and treat other people. So we need to be listening to the nuances and the voice of God. Because have you ever noticed that sometimes what God says and what God means are two different things? I love God's call in Jeremiah. I haven't got time there. But God goes to Jeremiah and says, what do you see, Jeremiah? Jeremiah says, I see an olive tree, an olive branch. Great, you saw it. Now I want to explain what you're seeing. Later on, what do you see, Jeremiah? I see a boiling pot coming from the north. Great vision. I want to tell you what you're seeing. Have you ever noticed how God tells you things and doesn't explain where it's going? Because his ways are higher than ours. And it's the nuances of God we have to pick up on as his people. Start right in the beginning with the story of Adam. God goes to Adam and Eve in a garden and he says, I bless you. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply. I want you to take possession of. I want you to care for. I want you to look after. I want you to nurture. I want you to rule. I want you to exercise dominion. You're made in my image. There's a tree of life and a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Please eat from that one. Please don't eat from that one. I'll be with you. We don't know whether it was a few days, years, or millennia that God walked in the garden with these two people, but there's no account of the fact that God said to them, by the way, the reason all this has happened is because there's been a whole lot of chaos in my home. And I've sent Satan here and he's around. There's no recollection in Scripture that God even forewarned him that this is what's going on. All God did was put this young man into a beautiful environment, give him a beautiful young girl, put them together and said, right now, I want you to live out. I want you to, because God, what God says and what God means are sometimes different because he knows the wider context and he's not obliged to explain it to you or to me. And so we need to understand, especially the control freaks in this room, God will speak things to you, but he hardly ever gives you the end of the line. And you've got to learn to handle the fact that you walk on his word, Psalm 119 says, every single day, there's enough light for your path. Jesus in the New Testament says, don't worry about tomorrow. He's trying to let us know, when I speak and you learn my nuances, I'm not always going to tell you what I mean. Moses, a shepherd boy, come here. I want to show you some tricks. Put your staff on the ground. Turns into a snake. Show you this. Hey, man, I got some power. Now go to Pharaoh. I want you to show him this power. So he goes to Pharaoh, shows him the power. Lo and behold, if Pharaoh's guys don't go and do exactly what he did. You did not hear God once say, by the way, I'm going to show you some tricks. You're going to go to Pharaoh, but I just want you to know the enemy's about to do the same. So he goes in with confidence. Throws his party trick. They do the same. What now? Then, of course, his snake eats this. I don't know if his staff got bigger, but at least his snake ate this. Noah, I want you to build a boat. What's a boat? Don't worry. It looks like this. What's it for? Don't worry. I'm bringing judgment on the earth. Okay, build a boat. To exact specifications. He's never seen rain in his life. There's no rivers. There's no sea. There's no lake. There's no nothing. Well, what is this thing going to do? What does this thing do? You'll see. God doesn't have to tell you. But when you learn the nuances of God, friends, you have to understand that because he has your plan worked out as an image bearer, only as you walk with him, only as you converse with the ability to communicate with God, only as you are able to be strengthened by him, can you even begin to be an image bearer. You can only start to do when you know how to be, and you can only be when you allow God to talk to you. I want to ask you, if you don't do this, make time to learn to hear the voice of God. Are you listening to me? And as you get closer to God, trust me, I did a wedding on Friday. It was actually quite painful for me. I said to them, I'm not staying for the reception. I'm not ready for that yet. I'll do the wedding, but I'm going. So I went and did the wedding. One of the things I said to the couple, I said at every wedding, I said, you will learn each other's nuances. How many of you people been married a while, you know? You're in a conversation, you're having a joke, and you say something that offends your spouse. And he or she doesn't say a word, they just look at you. And in that look, you know, you are on a sugar diet for the next probably 3-4 days until the sulk is over. You get another look from your spouse, and you drop everything, and it's time to go home. Because there's pudding. It's called nuances. And as you develop your relationship with God, you find sometimes it's not only the written word, there are nuances he starts to speak to you. But he will always, in your first 3, 4, 5, 10 years, I reckon, he will speak primarily from this word until you learn his nuances. Then the nuances will always confirm this word. Got it? Part of being an image bearer and becoming an image bearer is learning to hear him. Sixth and last one, we learn about God. In the overcoming, in the filling, in the subduing, in the working things through, in the being fruitful, in the ruling, as you do, because you represent him, what begins to happen is as you partner with God, the most beautiful thing happens that will ever happen in your whole life. You start to learn more about him. And as you learn more about him, your journey becomes less about you and it becomes more about him. There are things we have to learn. There in the book of Genesis, what's the very first factor that they had to learn? Was the creation. There was an account of creation. It was impressive. It was profound. It was stunning. God begins to speak about these origins. And in speaking of origins, he's telling them things about himself as his image bearers. The first thing he says is this: man wasn't present when the universe was created, I was. So God says, I started everything, you weren't there and I didn't even need you. I am always the author of something that happens without your involvement. I initiate, you follow through. Look at the disciples called by Jesus. Jesus called them, Jesus appointed them, then they followed through. He is always the initiator. All we can know about God is what he tells us. And through the creation, when God says, listen here, punk, you weren't there, I was there from the beginning, he's saying this: only I have the ability to create something out of absolutely nothing. Only me. Because you have to remember, there was a time there was no heaven. Right? Because heaven is a place. Angels are created beings. They're not eternal. God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit existed, and I don't even know in what. Because they're a being without a need for a place. The space-time continuum is our idea. It's not his. So in the beginning was God. Huh, John? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Right there where you and I don't know. At some point, God decided to create a physical place called heaven and physical beings called angels and seraphim and four-headed creatures. And at some point, God decided to do all this. And we don't know for how long he did all this before he then decided, after Satan's rebellion, I'm throwing you down to this place called earth. I'm going to form a new creation and I'm going to put people in my image. God is saying to you, I am always the initiator. I am always the creator. I am always at work. So when you sit with your boring life watching DSTV thinking, what am I going to do with myself? How about going to God and saying, as an image bearer, is there something you want to create? Is there something you want to do? Is there, perhaps in my life, out of nothing, out of something I didn't expect, is there the possibility you want to come and make something out of nothing? Second thing we learn from creation is man owes his life to God. You only exist because he created you intimately in your mother's womb. In other words, you are totally dependent upon him as an image bearer. If you lose his image, you're not his bearer anymore. You are dependent upon him. Friends, I've served Jesus now 29 years, some of you longer. You are as dependent now as the day you started. You never lose your dependence upon the Lord. A person asked me when I was going through the real grief, I still am, but the real grief with Hensia, said, how do you cope? I said, I've got this phrase I want to give you. He is the air I breathe. Because if he isn't the air I breathe, my ship's going to hit a rock and I'm going down. He is the air I breathe. You need to be dependent upon him all the time. You literally owe your life to him. Number three, unfortunately, we suffer disease, accidents, trials, temptations. Man is corruptible by nature. We see in the garden, Adam and Eve were corrupted. And what did God do? We know. Although he sent them out of the garden, he did two things for them. He said, I will always be with you. And the other thing he did was he covered them through a sacrifice of killing an animal. He clothed them. He clothed them himself. He said, I clothe you now in animal skins, but a time will come I will clothe you again in righteousness. But you need to understand that this world carries a sting, and you never know where, what, how. But we need to know that as his image bearers, as we learn about him, as much as there is a sting, he has plucked the power of that sting. That's the nature of our God. So he knows we're in a world where things are against us, and we can be absolutely secure in his care, his love, his attention, his joy, and his peace. Why? Because the fourth thing we learn is not only is there a difficulty in this world, but our God is actually a God of love. The Bible describes him as love. He reveals himself to us. God doesn't leave us in the dark. He doesn't leave us uncertain. He doesn't leave us wondering, why am I on earth? Where am I going? What's this all about? What's the point? It's not the God of the scriptures. God hasn't left us looking. He's a God of love. He reveals the truth about himself. He reveals the truth about you. And he reveals the truth about the universe. And Jesus, speaking about his Father, says, my Father so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whoever believes in him should have life and not perish. You serve a God who absolutely loves you. He reveals that in the creation. His whole order with an image bearer was to put you in a place where there would be a garden type experience, where you would live in the presence of God and your life would be full of joy. And he wants to restore us to that. Now, quickly, I need to finish. What do we learn? Remember, we're talking about touching God this year. From that passage in Genesis 1, what are some of the things we can learn about God? Now, unfortunately, I have eight of them. I have eight of them, and I have 2 minutes. So I have a feeling I should probably leave this. Because otherwise, I'm going to go another 10 minutes, in fact. Because each one deserves at least a minute. So let me rather leave it there. How are you doing in terms of your acceptance that you're an image bearer of Jesus? How are you doing in two areas? Number one, how are you doing in your ability to hear God? Because that's the only place faith comes. We have to learn how to hear his voice. Don't put your hand up, but how many of us are struggling? The men's breakfast yesterday, one of the guys was sharing, and he said at his previous church, the pastor preached a sermon called Just 5 Minutes More. And his point was this: if you want to grow in your relationship with God, why don't you just give God 5 minutes more? If an hour's devotion sounds terrible for you, why don't you just get up 5 minutes earlier and just give him 5 minutes more? You see, what happens when you begin a walk with God is he begins to sift away the familiarity you begin with. Because most of us start our relationship with God and we're actually in charge. And we tell him things and we ask for things and we move on and he's on the periphery. But you grow to a place in your relationship with him where suddenly his words become all that sustain you. Where you become desperate. And then once you've heard his word, you still need to understand what he means by what he says. Because he doesn't always tell you. And so you have to learn how to pick up his nuances. That's why in worship, like we saw people get healed, a prophetic word comes, a declaration is given, hands are laid on people, and across the room, people put their hands up this morning and said, I've got healed, I feel better. All that's happened is we've picked up on the nuances of what God is saying, and we start to bring them. Now, here's the thing, that actually needs to increase in our church. We can't sing the songs like we did this morning, where we ask him to come in and occupy the space and say, Lord, your Holy Spirit is here, and immediately we're on to the next song. Surely a time comes where we wait in that space and say, you are here. I honestly feel we're going to have interruptions in the next season. Where some of you, I really trust, we prayed at a Thursday night's prayer meeting. By the way, please come to pray on Thursday night. We had 98 people the first week, 95 the second. Let's top 100 this week. Come to prayer and we find the presence of God together. But I'm convinced if God's here, he's going to start to undo some of us. I long for some of you to get so touched by God that where you're sitting in your chair, you become a little bit more undignified than you are right now. Where one or two of you might just need a little bit of joy. One or two of you are just a little bit self-concerned. And the Spirit of God touches you and you start laughing uncontrollably. And you don't know what to do about yourself. It's coming. It's coming. I want meetings where honestly, if we invite him and say, Lord, you're here, I want to see the evidence. Because the Bible says in the book of Acts, these men are not drunk as you suppose. So I'll tell you what, they're not drunk, but they're behaving drunk. There's something that happens when the Spirit gets a hold of you. I'm going to talk about this tonight. Because God is an expressive God and a God of emotion, he also wants to take some of us who've retreated from really living and he wants to set us on fire again. He wants some of us to start becoming who you actually were. You don't come to church and it's still the kerk. You come to church and you start being who God made you to be while being respectful of everybody around you. But it's coming. And the second thing I want to ask you is, how are you doing in your development, your growth of your personal understanding of God? I said to you, I've been down some dark roads in the last 19 months. And one of the things I said to God at one point, probably about 4 weeks ago, I said, Lord, I'm scared of you at the moment. Just in this little quiet time I had, I said, I'm scared of you at the moment. He says to me, why? I said, I feel like you've become a stranger. I feel like after 30 years of walking with you, I don't know if I know you anymore. Because you've acted in ways that I didn't expect. And then during that quiet time, a bit later on, I said, but I realize, Lord, I am maybe running the risk of falling into just a little bit of presumption. And I have to go back to Isaiah 55, where you say that as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are your thoughts and your ways than mine. And I realized that when I was in crisis mode, all I'm trying to do is pull you to my level for what I need, which is normal. But I need the courage to give it back and to agree with you in Isaiah 55 that not only are your ways higher than mine, but you will bring your word to me. Your word will perform exactly what you said it would perform. And the end result is that the mountains and the hills in front of me will resound with joy. And I need to believe that that's where I'm going, even though that's not where I'm feeling, because left to myself, I'm going to start feeling worse. But left to you, that's your promise. So Lord, help me. Although I see you as a stranger, it's because for a little season, I imposed my familiarity upon you instead of realizing you're the God of the universe. One of the points I'm going to make tonight, so look interested, is I'm going to say this. You and I have the capacity to make God angry. We can make him joyful, but we can make him angry. How? Reject his son. Reject the truth of his son, make him angry. Hurt other people, make him angry. He opens up to us how we're able to affect him. And then God says this. He says, some of these people are prophets. Don't you know they're in every church? He says, there are prophets among you who prophesy lies. They prophesy what they feel because they've got a familiarity. They're not hearing God. They're prophesying what they want to say because what they think God should say into that circumstance. And he says, they're there. Trust me, they live among us. But he says, don't worry, I stand against them. You don't have to do anything. God will pop it. God will expose it. God will deal with it. But I had a very brief moment where I felt, God, you're a stranger to me again. And it put a fear in me. And I had to go back to Isaiah 55 and spend a few mornings just sitting alone with him and saying, you're my loving father. I need to trust you again. Show me revelation of who you are. And thankfully he did. Stand with me, please.